Well, Kasich now is going to be the 16th notable Republican. That's the wording. Notable Republican to enter the 2016 race. You're listening to It's a New Day, 1180 WFYL with Mike Levins. You can call in at 610-539-TALK, 610-539-8255. Let your voice be heard this morning. And thank you so much for joining us as we broadcast in the greater Philadelphia area, all from our home of beautiful West Norton Township. Now, we also have, we've got some interesting developments. It's been a few days now. It's been over a week, I believe, now, since the Chattanooga tragedy that we had a lone gunman shoot up different National Guard centers. We have six states now that are arming National Guard members in wake of the tragedy. Looking at a Fox News article here today. Safety concerns at military recruitment centers have been a long-standing issue. Last week's fatal shootings at two Tennessee installations underscore the deep risk recruiters face daily in the scramble at state and national levels to prevent a similar tragedy from taking place again. The U.S. military on Monday confirmed to Fox News it directed recruiting centers across the country to step up security measures in the wake of the deadly rampage that claimed the lives of four U.S. Marines and a Navy sailor. At the same time, a handful of governors have taken steps to beef up security measures at National Guard recruitment centers. Governors in six states, that's going to be Florida, Indiana, Arkansas, Oklahoma, Louisiana, and Texas. They ordered their guardsmen to be armed. Admiral Bill Gortney, head of the U.S. Northern Command, which oversees security for military facilities in the United States, issued a directive Sunday night calling on centers to implement modest measures while the Department of Defense hammers out more substantial steps to reduce the risk to recruiters. Recruiters typically set up shop in highly visible areas like strip malls or storefronts to attract the most amount of people. Most are unarmed, and it's this combination that some security analysts say creates the perfect conditions for an attack. Now, what would be interesting, and what we will have for you, while we have seen a rise of these kinds of shootings over the past years, decades, we have seen increase, whether it's at the local level, meaning cities, or whether it's at the state level, in regulation of firearms. I am surprised that that has not come to the forefront yet, that that has not become the topic of choice of many, that this is an argument to make firearm possession, if not terribly difficult, but altogether illegal, to what would be, in their words, prevent such a tragedy from ever happening again, like different tragedies, and this is, of course, at a National Guard recruiting center. But when we talk about things like Sandy Hook, which you remember that, don't you? We all remember that. Elementary school shooting. Something that hits right at the core of everything we hold dear as Americans. That's when the discussion is tabled yet again. Should firearms be illegal? Now, if we look at the stats for how increased regulation of firearms has affected the number of mass shootings in our nation, I think that we will find no correlation between a positive difference, meaning a reduced amount of mass shootings, and an increase in gun regulation. And I think that we could even all agree on that without looking at the statistics, quite frankly. We could acknowledge that it's true, but we could get that for you too, though. We could acknowledge that that's true without even going into, we all know it. We know that mass shootings have been on the rise for whatever reason, whether it's just one lone gun or whether it's in the name of Islam. We know that they have been on the rise. But one thing we also know is that regulations for firearms have increased along with that over the years. Has it done its job, or at least what proponents of more regulation and even illegalization of firearms or automatic weapons or what have you, particular kinds of ammunition? We also know that that has been on the rise, and if so, its effect has been null and void. 610-539-TALK is that number to call. 610-539-8255. Let your voice be heard this morning. Now, what's the argument that I'm trying to make here? I am trying to make the argument that even though we're arming, and this is a much-needed step, I believe that they should be armed. They're members of the military. Now, I quite frankly, everyone came out and said that this was something that, this is outrageous, that military members were not armed in the first place. Well, we live in a different era today. See, 20 or 30 years ago, we would have never thought of something like this happening 20 or 30 years ago. Or maybe longer than that. Maybe more like 30 or 40 years ago. We would never have thought of a National Guard and Armed Forces Service Center being at risk for a mass shooting simply because they're Americans, whether it be in the name of Islam or for another lone gun. And we were not prepared adequately for that. Obviously, we wait too late to be prepared for things like this. We are at war right now. We are at war with ISIS, whether we want to admit it or not. They're at war with us. We're at war with radical elements of Islam. I believe, though, that if you look at Islam at its face value, there are those who may not believe the different radical elements, but I believe that the radical elements all the same are held in one place, and that's the Quran, if you look at it. But even though we may do this, this is a new era that we live in today. And a lot of people came out and criticized the military, criticized, of course, politicizing it, and I believe simply that this is something that has not crossed our mind before. They're basically like a business. They set up these service centers. We've all seen them. Recruitment centers and shopping malls because they want to get the word out. They want to be right there so people can walk in and say, hi, I want to join the armed forces. How can I do so? And get information. And it's not meant to be a hostile adventure. So to carry firearms was not really thought of. But now the day and age in which we live, where we have terrorist groups like ISIS and Al-Qaeda, which are brazen in their attacks, Al-Qaeda, which is kind of faded, but ISIS taking its place, or Boko Haram, or you fill in the blank, there will always be a new one. But where now, they are the ones who are initiating brazen attacks on our own soil, of which we've not seen the likes of before. I believe we simply were not prepared, and I don't necessarily know that someone is explicitly held to blame, meaning standing by themselves. I do not believe that one person is necessarily to blame for them not being armed. We live in a different era, like I said, as a nation. And with that becomes a changing world. And we're seeing that day in and day out. Now, what is the point that I'm trying to make? I'm trying to make the point that I don't believe, even though we may arm National Guard members, and even though that's practical and quite frankly smart, and we need it in the wake of something like this, it's done with the purpose of fixing the problem, making sure something like this can be prevented in the future. But that's where I disagree, because I don't think that while it is a protective measure and needs to be done, and is very sensible, I don't disagree with that, and I believe it needs to be done. I do not think that it will prevent, of course, and we could all agree, it won't prevent all attacks, but it will not be the bottom line answer to stop things like this from happening. And I've said this on the show ever since I've come on, that this is about one thing. I believe that we are living in a spiritual world today. We always have been in a spiritual world. And I believe that as a nation, things will not get better. Whether it's attacks on our armed forces, whether it's our economy, whether it's merely the social and traditional values that we've held dear for generations, that those things will not improve or return to how they were until one thing happens, until we as a nation decide to turn towards the one place from which all of that safety, security, and promises come from, that is in Jesus Christ, our Lord. And I believe that with all my heart. And we'll get into why when we return here in just a moment. You can call 610-539-TALK, 610-539-8255. It's a new day, 1180 WFYL, working for your liberty.
Grandma, can you help me with my Common Core lesson on the Constitution? But the only part we're reading in 8th grade is the preamble and the First Amendment. I wonder when we'll get to study the rest of it. Didn't you say our founding fathers were wise patriots and wrote the Constitution and the Bill of Rights to protect our freedom? This Common Core book we're reading says our founding fathers were racist and they didn't think women or blacks should ever be allowed to vote. She says, we the people. Didn't really mean you and me, but some rich white guys. That just makes me feel terrible about our country. We need to change things.
Oh, honey, that's not true at all. Our country is the greatest country the world has ever seen, and our founding fathers worked hard to be fair to everyone. I'm going to call our school board and our state board of education and ask why they allow Common Core and this book in your school.
Call your representatives now and ask them to stop Common Core and restore local control. Pennsylvanians Against Common Core brought you this message. Go to nopacommoncore.com or call 484-678-2236.
From the Pennsylvania Family Institute, I'm Michael Gere with today's Family Update. This week is City on the Hill week for us here at Pennsylvania Family Institute. If you haven't heard, City on the Hill is our life-changing Christian leadership and worldview camp for high school teens. And this year, we've got a top-notch group of kids attending from all across the state and some of the best worldview teachers on issues like life, marriage, and religious liberty that you'll find anywhere. We've been conducting this wonderful camp for more than 15 years now, and the fruit in the lives of the young people that attend is nothing short of amazing. If you'd like to help invest in the Christian leaders for the next generation, consider a tax-deductible contribution to Pennsylvania Family Institute and City on the Hill.
The Pennsylvania Family Institute. Protect the family. Preserve the future. We depend on your tax-deductible contributions to fund our pro-family work. Please consider a generous contribution today. You can donate online at pafamily.org or call us at 1-800-FAMILY-1.
We all know it, we've all heard it if we've been to church before or in any kind of regular circumstance. It's Psalm 33:12, our scripture of the day today. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, the people he chose for his inheritance. Now this is talking about Israel here. But I made this argument again, and I will make it again. That in Scripture, Christians, those who follow Jesus Christ, are grafted in. This is demonstrated in Romans, where we basically become part of Israel. Does that mean we are, in the technical sense, Israeli citizens? No, not in the actual... I'm not an Israeli citizen, meaning of the actual nation here that exists on earth. But in Israel... That is pointing to God's people. That's what Israel is. It's God's people. and that those who believe in Christ now become part of Israel. We are grafted in beyond just being Jewish or being part of the Israeli nation. So this scripture here is talking specifically about Israel, but I believe those promises are also for those who follow the name of Jesus Christ, who are in other nations, and our nation has been that for many years. Now it is turning in large part, and this is why we have so many discussions and issues today, because of this turn. People see that our nation is changing, and everyone would agree that it's not necessarily for the better, and that it's never gone on this route before. Well, that's why. That is why we are changing from what we stood for, namely Christ, as a nation in large part. I've said this before on the air, two great revivals actually recorded in the history of our nation, the First Great Awakening and the Second Great Awakening. Those were revivals. Don't let anyone tell you differently. I studied these in public school. They were not told to me as revivals. They were not explained that way. But that's exactly what they were. Jonathan Edwards and Charles Wesley, they were both preachers. They preached across the country, and people gave their lives back to Jesus Christ, and it changed the fabric of our nation. The same can happen again. So when we're talking about this scripture, it's applying to Israel at the time it was written. But it can apply to us today, too, if we choose to follow Jesus Christ. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, the people he chose for his inheritance. From heaven, the Lord looks down and sees all mankind. From his dwelling place, he watches all who live on earth. He who forms the hearts of all, who considers everything they do. No king is saved by the size of his army. No warrior escapes by his great strength. I'm reading on in the psalm now. A horse is a vain hope for deliverance. Despite all its great strength, it cannot save. But the eyes of the Lord are on those who fear him, on those whose hope is in his unfailing love, to deliver them from death and keep them alive in famine. We wait in hope for the Lord. He is our help and our shield. In him our hearts rejoice, for we trust in his holy name. May your unfailing love be with us, Lord, even as we put our hope in you. What a wonderful promise for those who follow in the name of Jesus Christ. 610-539 Talk. Maybe you think I'm completely off my rocker. That's okay. I'm sure there are many who do. But call in, let your voice be heard this morning, 610-539-TALK, that number to call. Let your voice be heard. Now, Christianity, why that over everything else in our world? Because we have Islam, we have Hinduism, we have Buddhism. Who are you to say, Michael, that yours is the only way? Well, I understand that. Let me explain. I believe I have reasoning for that. Scripture says, give an answer for your faith if people ask. Well, here's my answer. Christianity is the only religion in the world that actually justifies someone, has salvation, quote unquote, for them, if they simply believe. If they believe. Not doing works, not trying to make yourself better, not sitting there and trying to prove yourself to God. No, see, Christianity says you can't do that. God's perfect, you're not. End of story. But God provided a way through simply believing, not through doing something, just believing. That's the difference. That Jesus Christ is Lord, That's how we find salvation. And that is the difference. That is the difference, the main core difference, I believe, between Christianity and every other religion in the world. And quite frankly, I see that truth every day in my life. That we live day in and day out, our whole lives are governed by faith. Not by what we do, but by what we believe. I'm sitting in a chair right now, I believe it's holding me up. That's an act of faith. I don't know that this chair could give out and I fall on the floor. I don't know that this radio signal will give out and our broadcast gets destroyed or cut off. I don't know that that'll happen, but I'm putting faith in it. We put faith in things every day. That's how we live. If we did not have faith, we would not have anything. And it's interesting if you look at modern social issues from this idea. If we look at homosexuality, or if we look at even this Rachel Dolezal matter, she believes she's black and she's really white. You know, if you don't believe in any kind of constant, in other words, if you don't live by faith, okay, because everyone has faith in something, even the ones that say they're faithless, well, they believe in themselves. They believe, even though it's a contradiction, in not believing in anything other than themselves. Now, when we give up in believing, when we do not live by faith, when we don't have a constant, and that's what everything comes down to in our society, we're leaving these traditional values, everyone's saying. Our nation's changing. The fabric of our nation's never been the same. It's always shifting, and we're losing rights, and whatever your argument is for what's happening in our nation, it all falls under this. That if we lose faith in that constant that we have believed in so long, and I believe that is Jesus Christ, if we lose faith in that, if we do not live by faith, we have nothing. Now, meaning faith specifically in Jesus Christ, I believe that's the only place it comes from. Because no other religion in the world do you live by faith. You live by what you do. You have to prove yourself. Islam, you have to make sure your good works outweigh your bad works. If they don't, well, you're not in good straits, my friend. Or the same, Buddhism, Hinduism. It's all by what you do, how many offerings you give, how you live your life. If we don't live by faith, our whole nation, lives, everything we believe in, is based on nothing. And we don't have anything to start with if we don't have that.
Working for your liberty right here in Philadelphia. Broadcasting freedom, shining light throughout the tri-state area. Streaming freedom, shining light from Philly to the nations. 1180 shining forth, we are the Freedom Station. WFYN.
News Radio. I'm Chris Foster. Ohio Governor John Kasich formally enters the Republican presidential race today. Meantime, a Des Moines Register newspaper editorial says Donald Trump should drop out for what he said about Mexicans and for suggesting in Iowa Saturday he prefers war heroes who weren't captured, like Arizona Senator John McCain. Trump tells Fox's Bill O'Reilly McCain is a hero.
I do. I had, and by the way, I said it. I actually said it four times, and I said it immediately after I went off stage because I was asked that question.
But he says McCain should apologize for calling his supporters crazies. Crews in and around New York City working overnight to restore power to homes and businesses who've had it knocked out by equipment failure caused by the heat at a pizza place in Staten Island.
We have to work. We have lost our refrigerators. We can't just throw them away.
Around 2,000 customers without power this morning, down from more than 20,000. Fox News.
All right. I know this isn't any fun to talk about, but we should. So, who's going to do what? Flashlights?
Nowhere to be found.
Where to be found? Batteries?
Dead.
Great. Emergency supply kits?
Not packed.
No. What about blankets?
We have an old towel.
Good enough. Cell phones?
May not work.
Emergency water?
Not a drop.
And what about food?
Nope.
Perfect. We all know where we're meeting if we're separated, yeah?
The library!
Aunt Joan's house.
The bus stop.
Great. And I'll be waiting here wondering where you all are. Sounds like we don't have a plan. Who's up for mini golf?
Winging it is not an emergency plan. Make sure your kids know what to do during an emergency. Who to call, where to meet, what to pack. Visit ready.gov/kids for tips and information. A public service announcement brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
Trinity Associates Incorporated has been in the electrical power testing business for over 35 years. We've specialized in working for some of the biggest firms in Philadelphia, and indeed America. Not only do big firms appreciate our expertise because of their size, but they can compare us to our competitors. They appreciate our reasonable prices. In fact, many of the largest firms call us year after year for sometimes 35 years in a row. We can provide the same service for smaller firms, bringing the same expertise and reasonable prices. Call Trinity Associates Incorporated for your electrical power testing needs and a free quote. Not all electrical power testing firms are the same. Call Trinity Associates Incorporated at 610-876-6428. That's 610-876-6428. Visit their website at trinityassos.com. That's trinityassos.com.
Come join the newly forming Kiwanis Club. We will be meeting at the East Norriton Panera Bread on Germantown Pike. Kiwanis Club is focused on helping children in the community. Our next meeting will be held July 23rd, beginning at 7:30 a.m. in the community room. For more information, please contact Jen Vare at jvare8@yahoo.com. Please join us. Hope to see you there.
Well, we have been talking about this issue of faith in our nation and how this is really the crux of every issue that we face. We don't have faith in something, then we do not have anything. If we don't have faith in something else, then the only other place that we can have faith in is in ourselves. And we're seeing the fruits of that as a nation right now. Our nation's falling apart. We need to be able to turn to the one place where it all comes from, that is faith, and faith in the one thing that is true and constant, that is Jesus Christ. But we're going to shift gears. It's always good to know about every issue, and it's interesting when you know more, when you have more information on any given issue. You are more qualified to talk about the issue. We have a man who has done just that with the issue of Common Core. We're going to do quite a show today looking into specifics on Common Core. We're going to hear from different experts, and we have joining us right now Tom Taylor, who brings a unique perspective to Common Core. He's a grandfather, father, and is involved in many different things, working in the community as a Christian in his church. And it's wonderful, Tom, to have you with your perspective here on Common Core, because you have some information how it has been historically something that was introduced by the UN in 1948.
That is correct. It's called International Baccalaureate Curriculum, and most people have never heard of that at all. So it has kind of sneaked in on us, and we are going to be paying the price unless we really get in touch with our legislators, particularly in Pennsylvania, and ask them to block this. One thing you forgot to mention, I have 5 great-grandsons under the age of 7, and I'm very concerned about what they're going to face in their public education.
How could I forget 5 great-grandsons? Right. By the way, how you doing this morning, Tom?
Well, I've been up a long time. I got here too early because I didn't know what the traffic would be. And,
well, good for you. Better to be here early.
I have never done anything like this in my life. So
now you're doing it. You can check it off, right?
Check it off, right?
Well, you've done quite a bit of looking into on this, Tom. I mean, so this was the International Baccalaureate Curriculum. I mean, you're concerned. Everyone is concerned of what our children are going to face. It's adopted and approved by the UN General Assembly in 1948. And, you know, you write here that it is more concerned about indoctrinating rather than educating our youth. Can you explain that a little bit?
Well, anytime you take something that is one size fits all, coming out of Geneva, Switzerland, it's pretty dangerous. And so this is saying that our schools must abide by all of the IBO regulations and procedures. It's just a very scary situation that somebody outside of us is taking over the control of our education. This means parents, teachers have much, much less to say, and we're just going to be controlled by whoever. It's another case of central planning and bureaucrats and people way away from Pennsylvania who think they know more than we do about what's best for our children.
Now, this idea and what you're reading there and the point you made there, we're looking at specifically the International Baccalaureate Curriculum, but this has pervaded into what we know now in our nation being implemented by ourselves is Common Core. Now, the UN, you also write here that they're now even writing their own textbooks.
Yes, that is correct.
And other materials with this International Baccalaureate Curriculum. The parallels are very interesting. And when we look at this idea coming from this baccalaureate curriculum, tell us about these textbooks that they're now just writing.
Well, this is going to be very, very expensive for every state because we're going to have to get new textbooks. Our libraries are going to have to be transformed, and we don't know what it's going to cost. As you know, 45 states bought into Common Core several years ago without understanding anything about it simply because they could get a big chunk of money. I believe it was $4.35 billion that the federal government made available to the states. And so everybody bought into this. I've spoken, not recently, but in the past, with a young man in the Pennsylvania Department of Education, and he says this is just fine and everything's going to be fine. But we don't know the impact that it's going to have financially and also on the values of our students and this nation.
Now, this is, we're talking about the states there with different textbooks and things that are being purchased, but, you know, we are now looking at, I'm trying to draw a comparison between the International Baccalaureate Curriculum and Common Core as we know it. Now, we could learn a lot from Common Core by looking at the International Baccalaureate Curriculum, because that's where you claim that it originated, which I think is a very provocative thought indeed. And this curriculum, approved by the General Assembly, in 1948. Tell me a little bit about what the purpose of this curriculum was.
Well, the purpose of the curriculum, as I understand it, is to force all children into a one-size-fits-all situation. Now, some states in the United States have advanced educational programs. Some do not. So those that have advanced curriculum and are doing well are going to have to dumb down to get down to a level, and hopefully those who are not doing so well to be brought up. But the point is that how can anybody sitting in Washington figure out what's best for your children if you're married? I don't know. And my great-grandchildren, they don't know. But it's interesting, just bringing us up to date, if I may, as you know, our education secretary is Arne Duncan, who headed up the schools in Chicago. And so I just got recent information that his wife is moving back to Chicago with their children, their two daughters, and they're going to be going to a University of Chicago lab school where the annual tuition is $30,618 annually. And then, of course, we know that Barack Obama's two daughters are going to Sidwell Friends School, where the annual tuition is $37,750. And then we also know that Bill Gates and his wife, Melanie, have poured millions of dollars into the efforts to develop and promote Common Core. And so their children are going to Lakeside School in Seattle, where the tuition is only $29,800 a year. So the point is that...
In comparison to the other two, that sounds like a bargain.
Right. So the point is that Common Core is good for us-ins, but not for them. And so...
The question, of course, is why is that?
Yes. So they can send their children to wherever they would like.
So some interesting facts there. Now, we do have some other facts here. It's a $4.35 billion was offered.
Correct.
If states adopted Common Core.
Correct.
Common Core was adopted, and it actually may cost, would you estimate, $542.8 billion to initially implement per the Thomas B. Fordham Institute.
Correct.
Now, we got about 2 minutes left here, and so we're almost at a break, not quite there yet. But tell me about the Thomas Fordham Institute.
Well, you got me. I Googled Thomas Fordham, and that's in a stack of papers at home. I guess I have...
That's fine.
I guess I have Common Core articles that are probably 5-6 inches deep if I printed them all out and measured them. So...
That's
I'm sorry, I can't really tell you much about them, except they seem to be a reputable, honorable organization. Now, we haven't talked at all about data mining, where these folks are going to be tracking information on our students regarding religious practices, political beliefs, sex behaviors and attitudes, and so on. And so this information is going to follow my great-grandsons for the rest of their life. And that's very troubling to me.
Of course. And the by the way, that fact, and I'm looking at this and misunderstood it here, that fact came from the Thomas B. Fordham Institute. Common Core is going to cost PA $542.8 billion to initially implement it.
Right, and we can't even get a budget passed, as you know.
Yeah, and we are probably going to blow through all the deadlines, and I know that we talked about that on the program, too. Tom Wolf and his budget, that's always fun to talk about. But we're going to head to a break. We're going to have more experts coming on talking to us about Common Core, about some interesting facts you may not have known, and their insights from educators onto what Common Core is really all about. You're listening to 1180 WFYL, working for your liberty.
If you're looking for a healthy treat today, why not head down to TCBY Frozen Yogurt? It's located in the King of Prussia Mall, the Plaza section opposite L.L. Bean. They have shakes and smoothies and hot fudge sundaes and, yes, even mint chocolate chunk frozen yogurt. And if you tell them you're a listener of WFYL, receive a 10% discount. So today, why not? Head on down to TCBY Frozen Yogurt located in the King of Prussia Mall.
Jeff Bush here from Informed Family Financial Services, located right here in Norristown. Are you nearing the decision about Social Security? Are you aware of the unique claiming strategies available to you when it comes to your Social Security benefits? Don't make a snap decision. Give me a call today at 610-630-4495 to schedule your no-obligation consultation. That's 610-630-4495. Representative of USA Financial Securities, member FINRA, SIPC, a registered investment advisor.
History was made on today's date. Stay tuned for an American Minute with Bill Federer.
The famous monkey trial ended this day, July 21st, 1925, as John Scopes, a high school teacher in Tennessee, was fined for teaching the theory of evolution. William Jennings Bryan, three-time Democratic presidential candidate, was the prosecuting attorney. He objected to a tooth being presented as proof of humans evolving from apes. Later, the tooth was admitted to be that of a pig. William Jennings Bryan, who died 5 days after the trial, once stated, "I am interested in the science of government, but I am more interested in religion. And I shall be in church even after I am out of politics."
This has been an American Minute with Bill Federer. For a free transcript, call American Minute at 1-888-USA-WORD.
Even in evil cultures led by arrogant and haughty rulers, take heart, because God gets the last laugh. I'm Sam Rohr, president of the American Pastors Network. Though nations seek to establish governments without God, truth, and moral restraint, though evil rulers conspire against God and persecute his people because they remind them of their sin, we should not fret. The King of Kings sits in the heavens and laughs at their futile actions. He scoffs at their puny efforts to challenge his authority. And one day, he'll terrify them in his wrath. He'll rebuke them in righteous anger and in deep displeasure will say to them, "I've given you my son, Jesus Christ, the King of Kings. Kiss him now and serve him with fear and humble submission, or you will perish. For I've authorized him to break you in pieces with a rod of iron." I'm Sam Rohr of the American Pastors Network, agreeing with God, the choice in life is clear. Reject Jesus Christ and perish, or trust him and be blessed.
Sign up as a partner at papastors.net.
Well, one of the big issues we haven't really talked about and hasn't really come up into the headlines very much is Common Core, and we're talking about that this morning here. Welcome to the program, 1180 WFYL. It's a new day. Mike Levin's here, and thank you so much for joining us. You could call in at 610-539-TALK, 610-539-8255, and let your voice be heard this morning. We are having more and more voices join the conversation on Common Core this morning. We have been talking with him. We have Tom Taylor, who has done some interesting looking in research into Common Core and the history of Common Core. And we also have joining us right now over the phone, the Reverend Dr. Ted Clater, who is Executive Director of the Keystone Christian Education Association. You have his academic preparation in Christian education and practical theology, specialized in church and school programs to disciple children and youth so their souls are safe for eternity and they are thoroughly prepared to fulfill the biblical Great Commission throughout their life on earth. He joins us now, the Reverend Dr. Ted Clater. Welcome to the program.
Good morning, Mike.
It's wonderful to have you this morning. So we have you and Tom Taylor joining us. Now, I want to read, because Tom's perspective on this, Reverend, is very interesting. He draws that the origination of Common Core comes from the International Baccalaureate Organization, which was established by the UN. It's basically the forerunner. Now, this initially was established in 1948, if you could believe it, and that this was adopted by the UN General Assembly. And there's actually a court case that occurred. It's McLaughlin versus Locust Valley Central School District. And petitioners alleged, and this was in New York, that there was a violation of rights because a school district entered into a contract giving exclusive jurisdiction to courts in Switzerland. They were participating in this international baccalaureate program, giving exclusive jurisdiction to courts in Switzerland. Unfortunately, the New York State Education Commissioner ruled the question of jurisdiction moot, stating that the petitioners lacked standing since their children were not enrolled in the IB program, although not to even talk about if that is even something that our school system, being part of the U.S. government, should participate in. But, Reverend, what is your take on that court case?
Frankly, Mike, I am not an expert at all of these different nuances happening in legislatures, in courts, all of those things, internationally, nationally, court, or countywide, statewide. My specialization is how I'm finding it actually impacting individual children, families, schools, and that's really my forte. So I appreciate those like Tom has done that researches that whole facet. And I just can't specialize in everything, so I'll let those guys specialize that, and I'll keep working at my stuff.
Sure. Well, it's all intertwined, but there is, and of course you're looking at the religious aspect of this, how this is affecting our kids. Does it shock you that the UN does have, it would seem, some kind of foot in the Common Core influence, I guess you could say?
In this day and age, kind of benevolently, nothing shocks me. If nothing else, anybody who has raised, I'm going to pick on an age group. If you've raised junior high kids, you should never be surprised by anything. Or maybe put it another way, if you've raised 2-3-year-olds, you should never, ever be surprised with anything. So any of us that have lived on this earth should never be surprised at anything that comes down the pike. We just have to work to protect our own priorities, our mission in life. And this isn't just a spiritual thing that is coming along. This is a very deeply intertwined education movement. And I don't see that there's any way around that it is both spiritual and educational. It's going to impact all kinds of people. And I'm very thankful that religious schools in Pennsylvania are free from it.
Now, Reverend, it sounds like that comment you made on junior high, it sounds like you were speaking from personal experience there.
Yes. So, it takes a unique person to want to love junior high kids in their church, in their Sunday school, year after year after year after year. They're unique little beings.
Well, we salute you for doing that, sir. I'm sure you are. Now, so religious schools, and this is your component here, Reverend, religious
yep.
schools are not mandated to participate in Common Core, and that's what you
that
just
correct.
Alluded to right there.
May I say not yet.
Not yet, and that is what we're trying to prevent. Now, KCEA, that's the Keystone Christian Education Association, won important statutory protections for all PA religious schools in 1986, basically saying that the government has to stay out of course content, staff qualifications, and philosophy of child rearing. Are you seeing any encroachments on that on those protections that KCEA won?
Oh, there's been any number of attempts at it. But so far, that legislative language, which Attorney William Bentley Ball described as Magna Carta legislation, it is holding. So there's been any number of efforts by civil government to mandate, for example, training by the government in government curriculum before you can be a worker with early childhood kids. in through DPW. We've had efforts to try to mandate that religious schools must all be required to teach the proper views of the Irish potato famine. You know, the list goes on. But so far, it is still holding that the majority of citizens in America, and in Pennsylvania, believe that the curriculum at a religious school should be able to follow the tenets of that religious sponsoring body.
Now, looking at some, there's some other points you make here, Reverend, that there are common complaints. Kids aren't learning as much as they could, referring to Common Core. Kids aren't learning as much as they could, or they're unprepared for work or college. You know, I'm sure that those same kind of complaints are levied against religious schools, and that now it does seem many people are gravitating more towards those now, but that would be the stereotype, if you will, because it's not governmental. But I would say that it's probably the opposite, because you are free from Common Core. You're actually able to raise the standard as far as education a little higher.
Well, I think that's a very significant point, Mike, in this whole thing, that Common Core, we are being told, needs to be implemented because of all of these residue of poor education. Kids aren't learning enough. Kids can't go to college. Kids can't find a job. Kids aren't ready for the military. Make the long litany. The difficulty comes is that those attributes of education failure are not true over in the religious quadrant. And one of my themes, Mike, is if you don't have the cancer or the illness or the infirmity, then don't take the medicine that is appropriate for those who do.
Well, and we're heading to a break. We're going to continue the conversation on Common Core with Reverend Ted Clater and Tom Taylor. We'll be back in just a moment.
Hello, I'm Gary Volpe of Volpe Enterprises. If you yell fire, you need help. You depend on a fire company to respond. Now it's up to us to give some help to them. Volpe Enterprises will host a fundraiser to benefit Worcester, Upper Gwynedd, and Center Square fire companies. There will be plenty for kids to enjoy, including a Moonbounce face painting, games, prizes, and a free lunch for all. August 1st from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. at Volpe Enterprises, 217 Church Road, North Wales. Visit govolpe.com for details.
Have you checked out our podcast on our WFYL homepage? Did you know you could stream us anytime, night or day, 24/7 at 1180WFYL.com? If you like what you hear on WFYL, please email us at info@1180WFYL.com to let us know.
Broadcasting live from historic West Norriton Township, this is AM 1180. AM 1180. WFYL, King of Prussia, Philadelphia.
Fox News Radio, I'm Dave Anthony. He has a bigger lead than ever in the Republican race for president, so why is Donald Trump being urged to drop out? Fox News Radio's Rachel Sutherland, live in Washington.
The Des Moines Register in the key voting state of Iowa published an editorial saying Trump has proven himself unfit to hold office. It comes on the heels of a firestorm over Trump's comment that John McCain is only a war hero because he was captured. Trump walked back that comment on Fox last night, saying if there was a misunderstanding, he would take it back.
I have respect for Senator McCain. I used to like him a lot. I supported him.
A new Washington Post poll has Trump with an 11-point lead, though the survey was taken mostly before the controversy. Dave.
Now, Rachel, a 16th candidate will enter the race today, Ohio Governor John Kasich.
And he'll start with a lot of ground to make up in a very crowded GOP field. Kasich currently pulls in around 1 to 2% of support from Republicans. That puts him just outside the top 10 for now.
That's Fox Business Network's Blake Berman. Iran's parliament's now reviewing the nuclear deal that'll lift sanctions. As a wary U.S. Congress gets ready to also give it scrutiny, with many lawmakers concerned it doesn't do enough to prevent Iran from building weapons. The deal that Tehran got, Pyongyang doesn't want.
North Korea saying it would not swap anything for its nuclear weapons because a nuclear deterrent is not a, quote, plaything. It added North Korea faces constant military and nuclear threats from the United States. It said defiantly North Korea is no Iran because it already has nuclear weapons. In the Asia Bureau, Alistair Wanglin, Fox News Radio.
In Tennessee, the State Department of Transportation has denied a request to hide a statue of Confederate general and early KKK member Nathan Bedford Forrest, saying it will not plant foliage on the right-of-way with the sole intention of blocking items on private property based on what might be offensive to some and not to others. This is Fox News Radio. Fair and balanced.
You're not crazy to start your own business, no matter what they say. We're GoDaddy.com, and we're just the team to help get your business online. Our Get Online Today toolkit gets you a memorable domain name, a professional website, and personalized email powered by Microsoft Office 365 for just $1 per month. Just $1 with the purchase of an annual plan. Get your business online today with the Get Online Today toolkit at GoDaddy.com/radio. That's GoDaddy.com/radio. Domain included with annual plan only. See site for details.
I'm Jay Farner with some great news on how you could save an average of $3,000 per year on your mortgage. Call Quicken Loans now at 800-QUICKEN to see if you qualify for the government's Home Affordable Refinance Program, or HARP. The HARP guidelines have changed. There's less paperwork and often no appraisal required. Call 800-QUICKEN. That's 800-QUICKEN, or visit quickenloans.com.
Important terms and conditions apply. Call us for cost information. Equal housing lender. Licensed in all 50 states and NMLS number 3030.
Dozens of mayors and elected officials from the U.S. and around the world are at the Vatican to talk with the Pope about global warming.
Mayors from New York City, Boston, Boulder, San Francisco, and the governor of California are joining others from around the world for a two-day conference on climate change at the Vatican. The initiative stems from Pope Francis's manifesto published last month on how the fossil fuel-based industrial model contributes to global warming that harms the poor the most. California Governor Jerry Brown on the importance of the Pope's encyclical.
The threat of climate change is real. The plight of really hundreds of millions of people, it's unacceptable. And the Pope's encyclical breaks real important ground.
Experts say cities are key to reducing global warming as they account for nearly three quarters of human emissions. At the Vatican, Courtney Walsh, Fox News Radio.
Well, this comes off of another hot month.
June becomes the fourth month in 2015 to break the global heat record. The average temp worldwide, just under 61.5 degrees, topping the old record set last year by nearly one quarter of a degree, what scientists consider smashing the record. The National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration says the heat record for the first half of the year was also broken.
That's Fox News Radio's Lisa Brady. One good thing about the heat, there have been no new cases of bird flu in the Midwest in a month.
The warmer summer weather has helped to kill the virus, but Agriculture Secretary Tom Vilsack telling the Associated Press the threat has not passed. USDA scientists think waterfowl drop bird flu during spring migration month, and they're worried it could come back this fall and potentially reach other regions as temperatures cool and birds return south. Bird flu has cost U.S. poultry producers about 48 million birds, mostly egg-laying chickens in Iowa and turkeys in Minnesota. Egg prices have soared because of the hen losses. Lisa Lacera, Fox News Radio.
On Wall Street, futures are now down a little ahead of the opening bell this morning. Markets have been mostly higher overseas, but modestly.
So, thank you for coming to my town hall today on how wonderful Common Core is and how much money we got from the federal government for giving up control of education. Any questions?
So, Representative, we have adopted new National Common Core standards, but they are not higher than our existing standards, and they were never really tested.
Well, yes.
And now we have to retrain all our teachers again and make them teach from a script so they can teach to national tests?
Well, yes.
And buy lots of new computers and equipment and copyrighted lessons from the same people who are promoting Common Core?
Well, yes.
And we're going to share all our private, family, medical, disciplinary, and test results with people nationwide. Why are you supporting it?
Call your representatives now and ask them to stop Common Core and restore local control. Pennsylvanians Against Common Core brought you this message. Go to nopacommoncore.com or call 484-678-2236.